This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Scott is out today. Out on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday.
What a jerk.
You know, he doesn't take off a ton. I mean, let me rephrase
that. Forever.
He does not take off the required even minimum. I'm always telling him, take your days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really want him to take more time off.
Yes.
I mean, he's only been here for like 745 years. He has built up some vacation
He has
time.
Built up, I think between the two of us, we have 9 billion sick days. And a whole lot of vacation days that I keep telling him, you know what? When it's all said and done, you ain't going to get them back. So please go enjoy your time. And he's taking a couple days off. Which brings me to, if you guys had to guess, Dan, and no cheating, because I think Sam's seen this.
Mm.
A new study has found what is your optimal length of a work week for Americans. And of course, it is not 40 hours.
I mean, it depends on what kind of job you do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in office, if you're doing a lot of spreadsheets and TPS reports, I mean, what, 2.5 days?
It's a little north of that, but I think only because we work longer hours in the United States than people in other countries.
I have not seen the study. 3.5, 4 days.
If you had to put it to an hour, put it to an hour every week. Instead of 40, how many hours?
30. 33.
Okay. Most employees don't have much say in the length of their work week, according to Money.com. But a full-time position stipulates a certain amount of hours, and that's how much you're supposed to work, right? But how much would people want to work if they could choose their total hours, even knowing that less work could mean less pay?
Oh, less pay.
Yep.
Well,
in a new working paper shared by the National Bureau of Economic Research, Duke University economists analyzed data and found that for most people, the optimal work week is 37 hours.
37? Wow.
Huh.
We're not as lazy as we think we are.
If we're talking about not changing the amount of pay or changing the amount of pay, yeah, you could work 2 days and get less pay. Well, no, I don't think I want to change that.
You know, one of the reasons I don't love that study is because the metrics, depending on what the metrics are, what you do for a living, that number is going to be different for everyone. But didn't we all learn during the pandemic that you can get all of your work done, for some of you, not necessarily in the office, and for a whole lot of you, not necessarily 40 hours a week? It's just because someone, however many years ago, decided 40 hours was going to be the number.
Well, 40 hours was actually a cap. They used to work far more than that in the United States and found that they were working people to death.
Yeah, we used to put children in sweatshops.
Mm-hmm. And so the union stepped in and capped it at 40 hours a week. But, you know, it all comes down to productivity and how much of that 8-hour workday are you spending working? We've seen a number of studies that say that people only work like 3.5 of the 8 hours. There is a camaraderie element where you need that community.
If you're out on the street filling potholes or you're digging ditches or you're building houses or
that's
a different thing.
It would not apply to those folks who are in charge of our infrastructure. But if you work 8 to 5, let's just say 8 to 5, there's a built-in hour lunch there.
Yeah, we don't even say 9 to 5 anymore,
I would say I don't want the built-in hour lunch. Like, if I need to go run an errand, I should be able to do that. But I don't need to leave for 1 hour and run to Target. Like, I would rather work 9 to 5 and just be there.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, I think most people could work 10 to 4 and still get everything done.
I mean, it says something about the modern jobs. I mean, the office-type jobs that many people have, you can probably whittle it down many hours each day and just get the stuff done and then go about your business.
And the business owners know that if they're going to only schedule you 10 to 5, you're still going to take 30 minutes to an hour in the middle of that to eat.
But if you're getting all your stuff done, then what, you know what I'm saying? Like, do we really need the 40 hour? You know the answer is no, Sam. For most people, it does not need to be 40 hours.
In a perfect world, I mean, yeah, but...
And I'll tell you this, the one thing I came away with pandemic-wise was that for most students, they do not need to be butts in seats from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. to graduate. For most, I'm not saying for all, it's the same thing. Do we really have to have that schedule with our high school kids?
I think we're also underestimating the number of people that do try to milk the system who, you know, they probably clock in 40 hours a week and they're constantly telling their boss, I don't have enough time. You're putting too much on my plate. Well, if you actually look at it, well, if you hadn't spent 4 hours by the water cooler today, you would have gotten your TPS reports done and you could have done 5 other things.
Or scrolling paperwork, yeah. Facebook and paperwork and all that stuff. Who was the guy, remember a few weeks ago, that hadn't been to work for 6 years and no one noticed? It's like one of my favorite stories ever.
Yeah,
no
the engineer
one,
at the water treatment
no
plant.
No one noticed. Like the engineering people at one treatment plant thought he was working at another space. That space thought he was working at the other space. They only realized he was no longer employed there, but was still drawing a paycheck when they went to give him an award for longevity at the company. And they were like, has anyone seen Bob?
I haven't seen him since Clinton was in office.
Yeah, no one has seen Bob because Bob left during the pandemic and didn't come back.
I wouldn't
from
say
the
I'm
text
missing
line,
it.
Be careful what you wish for, though. You could be replaced by AI, have no hours.
Oh, sure.
So enjoy your 40.
You know, I will never look this job or any other job.
We are blessed, yes. We are very blessed.
I don't
blessed.
Think AI could replace you.
Thank you, Dan. I don't either.
Oh, you either,
it would not,
Dana.
Even know what to do with that algorithm. It wouldn't even know what to do with me.
Break it.
And then this story. The 60-second productivity hack is the best way to avoid procrastination. My God, I'm bad at that. From the New York Post. Got a minute? Immediately completing tasks that only take 60 seconds to do is the key to productivity and decluttering, according to the experts.
The big one is decluttering.
While some household tasks can seem insurmountable, heaps of laundry to wash, a mountain of dirty dishes in the sink, dust collecting on the shelves, a simple 60-second rule can help mitigate how overwhelming it may seem. It builds a bad habit that reduces clutter, according to one therapist. In short, the rule is this. If a chore can take less than 1 minute to do, picking up your clothes off the floor, wiping down the countertops, it should be done immediately, which will then give you time to put off the bigger tasks.
So this isn't a hack. This is just a do it now, which is exactly what I was going to say. I didn't read into the story. I just put it in the stack because I thought the headline was intriguing. Just do it now. I am an extreme procrastinator. I was known if I was given 3 weeks for a project in like grade school or high school, I was doing it the night before it was due, and I was not starting it before that night.
But you don't have ADHD.
I do.
Oh, you do?
Very badly.
You don't have it as bad as I do. Do you want to get in a fight about it? Because there's no way. There's no way it's as bad as mine.
I'm not going to try to out ADHD you.
You don't get like overwhelmed by putting a fitted sheet on a bed like I do.
I get overwhelmed by a lot. But anyway, it's not a competition. It's a conversation that my girlfriend and I have often because I also have a very strong OCD, which kind of counterbalances my ADHD. But it is a specific mentality, the put it away, not down mentality, because if you put it down, it's going to stack up and there's going to be 15 things there over the course of a couple of days. And all of a sudden, putting it away is going to seem like a chore. It really applies with dishes. If you put that one dish in the dishwasher, guess what? In 4 days, there won't be 75 dishes in the dishwasher.
Right.
They'll all be in the sink. They'll all be in the dishwasher.
The 60-second rule, they say, could be a game changer for seasoned procrastinators or people with mental health struggles or ADHD. That's because doing one small task at a time is less anxiety-inducing than an onslaught of chores to complete all at once. Let me tell you this. Last night, I looked at my calendar. I saw four things. Four, before work. That creates a sense of dread unlike anything I can tell you. And for most, I have a friend who routinely will have 36 things in one day. And I always say it would absolutely destroy me to look at that because it seems so overwhelming to me.
It's not comforting to know that, okay, I've got these things to accomplish today.
Instead of like I'm going to tackle the world, I see those four things and I go, oh my God, I got this really. But here's the flip side of that. I got up early this morning, Sam. I got the DMV banged out.
Uh-huh.
I got the Johnson County Courthouse banged out.
Yeah, you did.
I got, what was the third one? It was a big one. Oh, work meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That we all had to come in for.
We did.
Zoom meeting.
Whoa.
Then there was one other thing. Like, I legitimately, looking back at today, I'm like, I feel so accomplished.
Uh-huh. On a Friday.
And I would love to be in the headspace where you look at it like, oh, look at all the things I get to do tomorrow in the DMV, instead of like this overwhelming sense of how am I going to do all this tomorrow.
Flip it. That's right. Look at it differently. And then right now you can look back at what you did this morning and go,
those things I did.
Wow. And pat yourself on the back.
It's all about resetting the mindset. It's the same thing with eating healthy, the same thing with working out. You're never going to be satisfied with the process. So you have to remember how you feel once you reach the goal.
Part of it, I think, and I'm looking at this list right now, I was like, oh, it's just too many things. That's too many things. That's too many things. That's too many things. The courthouse was the other one. It's just the way it's stacked up on the calendar, right? It's bam, 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 bam. But then, you know, you have people that you know that are incredibly busy and well-managed with their time, where there is not a single calendar space day that is blank. And it's part of it is a personality type too, where there are people that are just wired to bang that stuff out and handle it, and it just rolls right off their back.
I certainly am not.
And Sam, there are people like you and I, where, like I said this the other day, I see a mound of wadded laundry, and I'm just like, oh no. But maybe, then once you do, you're like, that wasn't so bad. And that's why I like the 60-second rule.
Uh-huh. And well, you don't want to have to think or try to do everything all at once. So yeah, the 60 seconds makes sense.
How do you eat an elephant?
One thing, accomplish it.
You eat an elephant. One. Well, I hope you don't. But if you were it would be one little tiny bite at a time.
That's right.
And maybe having a calendar with the items that you know are coming up, but also building in personal time.
Yeah.
Downtime, where it's not just whenever you get time, but you actually build it into your calendar. Downtime.
No, I'll downtime when I die. Just keep going, baby.
You're young.
I told you this. Shout out to the folks at the Driver's License Bureau. If you had said to me last night that your Driver's License Bureau experience is not only going to be short, like 12 minutes, but it's going to be delightful, I wouldn't have believed you, but it was short today.
Prove it.
It was delightful. 913-586-7798. Happy Friday, everybody. Festivus Friday coming your way here in a couple of hours. We will air the grievances promptly at 5:00. When we get back, I want to talk to my healthcare people. I want to talk to my procrastinator healthcare recipients. And I want to talk to you if you are a healthcare worrier. Not a hypochondriac necessarily, Sam, but a worrier. Is the full body MRI scan worth the hefty price tag? The doctors are weighing in on everything you need to know about that, and we'll tell you how much it costs and what it will do and will not do straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Are you playing Man Rock while I'm here by myself? Is that what's happening right now?
Led Zeppelin, is this Man Rock?
This is very manly.
Oh.
Sam, this is like, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is like a 50 on the man scale.
Noted. I will consider that in my future music choices for the rest of the day.
Norah Jones next time, that'd be great.
Ooh, not going that far. We can meet in the middle.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Scott will be back on Tuesday. The number, 913-586-7798. I have always been fascinated by the thought of the full body MRI scan. You know, in like the lifestyles of the rich and famous ding-a-ling influencers, this is all like the rage. That I'm going to go and I'm going to do this full body scan and it's going to show me everything going on in my body so that if there is something hiding in there, growing in there, the theory is it will catch it. And I've always asked this about cervical, to some extent, pancreatic, and some hidden breast cancers that are like underneath the breastplate, deep
where you
inside,
wouldn't feel the lump.
Where you wouldn't feel the lump. Yeah. And, you know, I had a friend tell me she not only didn't feel the lump, but the traditional mammogram that she got every single year also did not detect it.
Really?
So I've often thought, like, why are we not all just doing this once a year? Where you just go through the machine and they're like, yep, man, there's something down there that we never would have caught. Why are we not doing that? And what is the return on investment if you do it? So quoting here from Dr. Miguel Vashovsky, more commonly known as Dr. Mike. He is a primary care physician in New Jersey. He is a podcaster, and he recently spoke about the full body scan with the CEO of one of the companies that provide them. And I want to talk to you if you have done this and what did it show? 913-586-7798. He says, quote, I have to say I'm certainly intrigued by the technology. I'm in love with the concept of catching diseases earlier so that we can, of course, have more success with treatment. However, he says, I am still not sold that this is what some of these scans have proven to deliver. In the day and age where we find ourselves, folks want more out of healthcare than we can yet deliver. Full body scans use different technologies, including magnetic resonance imaging, the MRI, CT or positron emission tomography, like the PET scan. And the goal is to detect very early signs of disease, like some cancer, heart disease, and other abnormalities. It's like a virtual physical, right?
Yeah. And why is it so expensive?
Well, we're going to get to that. Because here's what I don't understand. Some of the scans can be as high as $2,500. But
I'll take it.
If I said to my insurance company, you can either spend $2,500 once every 4 years.
Oh, here we go.
Or I end up with some devastating cancer that would have been caught by one of these, and it's going to cost $500,000. I would say the same with heart disease. Catch it early and correct it. It's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than catching it late and not correcting it. Think about how much it costs to even put a stent in these days, right? 913-586-7798. Will we ever get to a point where the insurance companies say, yes, we like this return on investment? And have you done it? Let's go to Jim Bob in St. Joe. Hello, Jim Bob. Go ahead.
I'm not really in St. Joe. I'm up by Lathrop.
All good.
Hey, I've had over 100 of these damn things.
Of the scans?
Yes. Oh. MRIs. All because of the stupid hexavalent chromium Aaron Brockovich, that stuff that happened up in Cameron time ago.
Yes.
And I've had, I don't know how many scans. I know I've had 100 scans, but they're all for the money. And then I finally went blind, and I went up to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and they found 7 tumors instead of 4 tumors, like Kansas City always said.
And how long ago was this? How long ago was this?
When I went up to Rochester, Minnesota?
Yeah.
That was in 2020.
Wow.
And they deemed me blind, and I had 3 more tumors, and they hit me every day for 6 weeks with radiation just to stop me from going blind, completely blind.
But, Jim Bob, they ended up finding more than was found locally because of the types of testing that they did where you ended up.
Yes, because Kansas City, I ain't going to say nothing about Kansas City.
Well, yeah, please don't say the name of the hospital, because I was talking about this the other day. We are blessed to have the healthcare systems we have here. You know, KU, Advent, Mercy, all of those things. I think he said he went to Mayo. Not everybody's going to go to the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, he was a special case, it sounds like.
And you know, would a scan like this, if done in a timely fashion, have found all of those tumors? And Jim Bob, you sound great. We hope you are. Thank you for the call. 913-586-7798. We will take your calls and texts on this straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Stick with us. Welcome back. Talking about the full body MRI scan that can cost up to $2,500 per patient out of pocket. And what would it even show you if you got one? And one of the reasons that some healthcare providers are saying this is generally not worth the money is interesting. And I'll tell you about that in just a bit. But I want to get to Randy in Lone Jack first. Hey, Randy, welcome on in.
Hello there.
Hi, go ahead.
So, you know, my wife did the whole scan to see if she had the same problems that her mother died from.
Okay.
And that scan went to the doctor. Well, the doctor called us and said, well, I have bad news for you. You got cancer in your liver, your lungs, along your spinal cord. So we need to get together and start attacking this and figuring it out. Well, it was a pretty devastating phone call, but we switched to the biggest hospital in Kansas City. That's a teaching hospital I'm not going to mention.
No, that's fine, yeah.
Went through, started getting biopsies on all of these lesions that she had, and they all kept coming back negative. They were not cancer. And what it turns out she had was a pretty rare autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis. So when I breathe in a piece of dust, it's just a piece of dust. When she breathes one in, it becomes a lesion that her body attacks. So once we found out what it was, we found a specialist in town at that big hospital.
Wow.
He started talking to us, and he said, well, you're going to die someday, but you're not going to die from this because it's not cancer. And what we can do is we can start giving you infusions like we give cancer patients that's going to slow your autoimmune system down. And she started getting them, and all of the lesions just slowly disappeared.
Wow. Was she having symptoms, Randy? Is that the reason, one of the reasons she went in, or just because of her mom's history?
She's been having different pains for years and years, and different doctors would tell her that they're fibromyalgia or all these different things. And she was always in so much pain. Once the lesions all shrunk down, 90% of her pain has disappeared. Really, really changed her life.
And was the body scan done based on a doctor's recommendation, or did you pay out of pocket for it, Randy?
Yeah, we paid out of pocket.
And was it $2,500? Do you mind if I ask?
You know, I don't even remember how much that was. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. But
wow. But without that, you would not have known what was going on with her.
No, she would just been in everyday pain, you know, trying different painkillers and trying to find different ways to sit and stay comfortable while trying to lead an active life. But once we found out what it is, because all the biopsies came back negative, then we got the specialist on board, and he was a doctor that really went after this disease and tried to help people with it. And because of that, he's an expert over the United States.
I'm so glad, Randy, you called in. Sam, did you have a question?
And Randy, whatever it cost, you would say it was worth it, yeah?
Oh, gosh. Knowing the outcome, if it would have been $20,000, it would have been worth it to see the pain go away and her life come back, and she could sit in the car and travel now and all these different things. Before, it was just try to figure out how to make the pain the least you can by taking pills and sitting on, you know, trying to sit right and all that stuff, and all that stuff's gone away.
Randy, how long did she live with that pain before one of you decided we've got to do something? And then my secondary question is, did you just research this and tell your doctor, we don't care what it costs, we want a full body scan?
So she'd probably lived with it maybe 25, 30 years.
Gosh.
A very long time. And she researched it and told me she was going to do it. And when they did it, you know, they said, well, we're seeing some spots. We're going to send this over to your doctor. And that's when the doctor called it out as cancer, which was reckless, because you don't ever name cancer without having a biopsy. You don't.
Right.
You just don't do that, you know?
Well, because panic would ensue, Randy. And I'm so glad you got answers and figured out what was going on. I will tell you this. I know enough about fibromyalgia to be dangerous. And it is real. I absolutely believe in all of those symptoms. They're different for everyone, usually women. But I also think sometimes you're in pain and they can't figure out why. And because of the lack of diagnosis for anything else, is it sometimes mislabeled fibromyalgia? You know, she's been in pain 20 years. We can't find a cause. Do they slap that diagnosis on it? Because it's really the lack of any other. There's no like test, at least when my mom went through it. You don't do like a cheek swab and they're like, yeah, you got fibromyalgia.
Right. From the text line regarding getting the scan when you don't know if anything is wrong or not, my boss had an accident and broke his nose. They did an X-ray and found a tumor on his brain. Had he gone in for the full body MRI, they would have caught it. But had he not broken his nose, they never
would have caught
it.
So, you know, I do the heart scan, I don't know, every 3 years or 5 years. I just had it done again. And one of the techs the last time I was in there was saying, you know, we have caught all kinds of things in here. Because my reporter brain is on when I'm doing these things. And I have all these questions like, tell me about this. What about this? And I said, well, have you ever like, you know, you're looking for my heart, like around my heart to look and see, you know, blockage and plaque and all that
calcium
stuff.
Calcium score.
Yeah, like all that stuff. But like, do you ever find anything else? And he said, oh, you have no idea. We had someone come in for a heart scan, perfectly healthy runner. And it turns out his heart scan was fine. He didn't have any plaque, but there was a tumor growing around one of his lungs or something adjacent that they otherwise wouldn't have found. So, Randy, thank you for the call. I'm glad your wife is leading a happy, healthier, productive life. When you ask providers about this scan and they say they're not inclined to agree with this because of the cost and other factors, one of the things that repeatedly comes up is the oversensitive nature of the full body scan. Listen to this quote from one of the care providers who says, I'm not so sure this is for everybody. If you do a full body scan and you get a result, whatever that result may be, people tend to be inclined to pursue every positive finding, whether that finding is really significant or not. The most significant, quote, risk that comes with the full body scan are the issues that arise with false positives, overdiagnosis, and over-treatment. And obviously, we're not talking there about a tumor in your body that the scan would catch and you would treat.
Right.
But if there's shadowing or something in there where it's more explored, like we're not sure what this is.
It sparks concern.
Even if concern is not supposed to be like there. Like in Randy's case where they said it's, you know, she's lit up with cancer. My God. Did not turn out to be the case. And I think you heard him say they would do it all over again if they could. But if that false positive or, you know, uncertain result leads you down the road to spending a bunch of money and then you're chasing something that is insignificant, that is a tax on the system that is costly to you as well.
Now, the answer always comes down to insurance companies and however they code and however they decide these things, however much they decide these things should cost. But it always bothers me that these tests are $2,500. And the initial argument from everybody is, well, the machine's expensive, and it's expensive to run the test. I guarantee you it's not $2,500 to run the test. And if we're running on the logic that, well, the machine's expensive, so the test has to be expensive, then the coffee coming out of the $2,500 espresso machine should be $2,500, right?
Right. The other thing I would say is that with respect to that cost, Sam, if you look at $2,500, that is a drop in the bajillion-dollar bucket of what those insurance companies are making. And I would be curious, like, let's just say we standardized this test once every 5 years for people. Like, what is the cost savings in what is found and caught on the front end that you otherwise would not? It would be far more than the upfront quote cost of the $2,500, which to your point isn't even $2,500. Let's say it's $900. You know, what is the return on investment? That return on investment is huge when they find something.
Yeah. What is the hourly rate of this doctor? What is a, you know, find some random percentage of the cost of the machine, because you're going to make that argument that we have to cover the cost of the machine. Charge me that.
913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead. Stick with us. All right. What in the Sam Hill, Sam, is the latest with that high-rise building collapse? The video is...
I'm not sure if that was in Bangkok, or in, which is the capital of Thailand, or in the capital of Myanmar. However, the earthquake struck midday their time, so early hours here, just outside of Mandalay, Myanmar. And it was a 7.7 magnitude earthquake that obviously shook the ground. They are looking at potentially over 1,000 injuries. The report of late, the most recent numbers that I'm seeing are 730 to 760 injuries, 144 deaths in Myanmar, 8 dead in that building collapse. That was in Thailand, the building collapse. But they are just aftershock after aftershock, those ranging up into the high sixes.
One of the more jarring videos among a handful of them is this huge, huge high-rise in Bangkok. And look at this video, Sam. It's basically this enormous, fancy high-rise apartment complex.
Yeah.
And on the very, very top is a huge swimming pool. Like, think the entire footprint of the building swimming area.
Right.
This is one of the buildings that did not fall. It survived the earthquake, but it looks like a tidal wave coming off of the roof of that.
Shaking it's just, the water out
it
of the
is
pool.
Just cascading tidal wave of water coming off of that. And then just one of the saddest, most jarring videos is the building that just comes down.
So on top of that high rise that collapsed, of course, I said there were, I think I said 8. There are now 10 confirmed deaths.
And I want to be clear, that was under construction, correct?
So, yes.
And not that, I mean, it's horrible what happened.
So a total of 3 construction sites were hit or had some major impact from this earthquake. There are 16 known injuries, but 101 construction workers are missing.
My God.
In the rubble. As they work to find those people and hope that some of them are in air pockets down there under that rubble and are safe, but it's not looking good. We're looking at, like I said, over 150 dead already, and specifically in Myanmar near the capital there, they are looking at 730, 760 injuries total.
Hmm. From ABC News, Los Angeles County has apparently been using potentially faulty DNA test kits in criminal investigations, something that apparently has been going on for months. According to the Sheriff's Department, on Wednesday, a supervisor became aware of a notice from a DNA testing kit manufacturer indicating that a specific lot of kits was prone to poor performance with the potential to cause incomplete results. The maker of those kits has recommended the department stop using the kits. The problem with that? They have continued to use these in criminal cases since that letter was sent warning them about the kits in August of 2024.
Despite knowing that they were faulty?
Why, you ask? The letter was sent to the LA Sheriff's Department August 28th, 2024, but apparently went to an employee who was no longer there.
Oh, good.
Letter was never received. Letter was never read. Because of that, the affected kits remained in use for 8 months from July of 2024 until February of 2025. They are still trying to sort out what that means for all of the criminal cases involving DNA.
Whether, they would have to be thrown out unless you have hard evidence otherwise.
Right, whether you're a victim or you're the accused. And then I want to retract and clarify something I told you guys yesterday with my Run, Do Not Walk. The documentary, A Body in the Snow, The Trial of Karen Reed, is one of the most dramatic, jarring.
Okay.
Cannot stop watching. Like, we just blew through three of them last night, okay?
Has your opinion changed?
Your opinion, when you watch this documentary about the death of this police officer in Boston, right, found in the snow on the front lawn.
First name John, I believe.
A fellow law enforcement's house.
Yeah.
Your opinion will change no sooner than 56 times.
Really? Because yesterday you were 100% in the camp that she is absolutely innocent. She did nothing
not
wrong.
Do this. And then a couple of things come up and you're like, well, that doesn't look good.
Huh?
And then it swings right back around to, oh my gosh, she did not do this. It is called A Body in the Snow, The Trial of Karen Reed.
And what streaming service is it on?
That's the issue. I am almost positive yesterday I told you all it was on Netflix.
Okay.
It is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, perfect. I can watch.
It premiered Monday, March 17th. I'm telling you, Sam, I'm giving you homework. You have to watch this over the weekend because I want to talk about it on Monday.
I will have to check it out. I am very interested in that case, and I want to
I am still in the camp that she did not do this. There are some things that happened at that scene that cannot be explained other than cover up or someone planted some evidence there.
You were talking about it in the newsroom, and based on the early reporting that we got about this case, they painted a very different picture about what happened. I thought that this was like a joint driveway situation. Nope. Behind a number of houses.
Nope.
He was found on a sidewalk in somebody's front yard.
In the front yard.
It makes no sense.
This was the case, you guys. They don't really know what happened to him. Hypothermia, blunt force trauma, and possibly a bunch of dog bites on his arm. You will just go nuts trying to figure out what happened to this poor young man. 913-586-7798. When we get back, if you are kicked out of the place you call home, how much notice do they have to give you? For one group of residents in Kansas, it was 4 weeks. Oh, is that legal? We'll talk about it straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.